This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
More questions being raised in the saga of Alec Murdaugh. One of those questions is, should there be a new judge that presides over any future Alec Murdaugh proceedings? And God knows there will be many of them, at least many civil actions and also criminal actions and possibly a retry of murder if some of the accusations of jury tampering actually do pan out. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Judge Clifton Newman, by all accounts, everybody, you know, liked him. I thought he was a very good, fair, impartial judge, but at the same point, he has also now expressed his opinion of Alec Murdaugh. He expressed it in the sentencing. He's expressed it on the Today Show and many other places as well. I think, yeah, fair enough. But at the same point, you know, you're still presiding over Alec Murdaugh cases. The optics are not the greatest. And the other piece of this is the connection to his clerk of court, who already has those allegations against her of jury tampering. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. First, I just want to talk about the fact itself that Judge Clifton Newman is set to preside, actually over a November 27th trial date. They're asking the Supreme Court there to put a stay on this right now until we can figure out what is going on, if Judge Newman should be there or whatnot. What are your thoughts on this in terms of the optics and what kind of impact it plays into a case like this with someone like Judge Newman?
You know, he certainly appeared to be calm and fair and unbiased during the trial, but it was the comments at sentencing and after the trial where it sounded like, you know, he really has strong feelings about Alec Murdaugh. And we like to think that a judge can be very fair and impartial. And this kind of gets into the psychology of, you know, how much does even an unconscious bias change the way people behave Sure. in the courtroom? And judges are human. There are people they like, there are people they don't like. And the way that they interpret what happens in court has got to be influenced by their emotional state with these things. So I think if I were Mr. Murdaugh, I would be hoping for a new judge at this point. I can understand that.
Yeah, I think it's a fair thing to look at with a case like this. And then, of course, you have the connection to Becky Hill, his clerk of court, and that's a very tight connection. Obviously, you know, innocent till proven guilty in any of those allegations against her. And hopefully they have that evidentiary hearing to determine whether or not those accusations are, in fact, true or to what extent they are true. But she's been working. She's still been there as clerk of court for, you know, since the allegations came out. What about that? Should that have been something where, look, these allegations are out here. This is a pretty big case. Optics are not good. Take a paid leave or something of that nature, rather than continuing to be actively involved in the courts there.
It sure sounds like paid leave would have been a good way to handle it, you know, and an aggressive investigation as soon as possible, because it's, you know, if these things are true, it's appalling. And at what, you know, what is the price to be paid on the psyche of the whole country, not to mention the cost and the cost to everybody involved in the trial if you have to do the whole thing over again? I mean, it's really a nightmare.
What sort of weight should we put on the statements of the jurors, hopefully when they have that evidentiary hearing? You have several already who have been investigated by SLED. SLED saying, yeah, most of them are saying they have no recollection of Becky Hill ever trying to influence them, or if anything she did say, we didn't take it that way and it did not influence our decision. But not all of them have said that. There's still a few holdouts that have not made a statement to that. And they're the same ones who also made statements to Jim Griffin and Dick Harpootlian, where they have their sworn affidavits. Because keep in mind, they are attorneys, but they can't just make things up out of thin air and hope for the best. There needs to be something of substance to that. So if they all get in there and most of them say, we have no recollection of this, if we did, it certainly didn't influence our decision. The couple who do say, yeah, maybe she did say these things, and the gravity of which it influenced the decision is important. But how do you weigh that? How do you say that her statements truly made a difference in someone's choices, considering they were at a barrage of information coming at them every single day? Why would Becky's opinion mean that much?
Yeah, this is almost like, okay, here's another big trial to try to sort that one out, isn't it? It's a confusing one, but there are really clear rules against that sort of behavior. If it's true, if the people are clear and credible and have specific recollections, then I think we would have to take it seriously. It's just another unfortunate case in an unusual trial. That, again, these cases that have, you know, layers of weird, basically, it's like, let's just throw this in at the end. It's just another layer that we hate to see happen.
We are relying on memory of human beings' memory to recount or recall these sort of situations. How accurate can that be? How accurate can it be in terms of both not remembering or, you know, getting this in your mind that, well, maybe she did say those sort of things, and then the mind, you know, false memory, essentially reconstructing it in a way that maybe does play to that sort of a narrative.
Yeah. And I think one of the factors in how much weight we would give it is how specific are the memories, you know, and how clear and how direct were these statements made. You know, it just depends on what the people can report and how credible they seem. But yeah, it's just...
Ultimately, if we have just one of them saying, she said these things to me, I know it, and they were, in fact, a juror that cast their vote, is that enough to get a retrial?
Well, I'd hate to be the one making a call on that one. Yeah. But again, I think it would depend on how credible is the juror, how clear were the statements made, how specific. And certainly if there's more than one person who heard the statement, because, yeah, people can be mistaken or people can mishear. We all mishear all the time. Ask my husband, who claims he doesn't hear half the things I say to him, you know, that I'm sure I said.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.